You're about to hear a message from the team at C3 Church Bethel. We pray that this message will inspire you to live your best life and bring life to the people around you.
Glorious ones. I'm not being fickle when I say that, because you are. You're the glorious ones. As I started thinking about what I was going to talk about today, I sat down in my favourite little meditation spot and I read a passage that talked about God's mercy and how I'd receive that mercy. And it was just amazing to think that I as an individual had received that mercy from God and now I can live in that mercy. Rick talked the first week in this series about magnifying God. And I just want to look at these words that we've used over the last 3 weeks. The first one was magnify, the second one was amplify, and today we're going to use the word glorify. We have senses. Each one of us, most of us have our full senses. Some people, unfortunately, don't have those senses fully. But when we think of the word magnify, I think of a magnifying glass, and we use our eyes to see the magnification. So our eyes, our physical eyes, are important. When we use the word amplify, I think of our ears, and we use our ears to hear amplification. Like this morning, I was standing right under that speaker. I could really hear the music because it was amplified. Then the last word we're going to use is the word glorify. And as I was thinking about that word, I thought, I don't know that I have an actual physical sense that I can use to describe that word glorify. And it got me thinking about the dimensions of our spiritual walk with God. And I think the word glory is a dimension that is not a physical, tangible word we can use in that. And I was reading my little word for the day in my little Kindle Bible here. And it talks about coming to God for our rest and our renewal and seeking his presence. And then it says there are actually more than four dimensions in this world where you live. In addition to the three dimensions of space, and I thought, what are the three dimensions of space? And I came up with it's probably length and breadth and height and depth, that, you know, to make that space that we live in. And the one of time, there is a dimension of openness to my presence. This dimension transcends the others, giving you glimpses of heaven while you still reside on earth. This was part of my original design for mankind. Adam and Eve used to walk with me in the garden before their expulsion from Eden. And I want you to walk with me in the garden of your heart, where I have taken up permanent residence. So I want to talk about this glory realm. The word glory is not a word that is used in everyday language very often, but if you do a search through the Bible, you'll find it everywhere. And wherever God appears, that word is often used, glory. And it's a word that's used to describe how people feel when God comes in. And God is here in glory this morning. As that initial first part when we were praying, Colin was praying, I felt the glory of God. One of the tangible ways that I feel the glory of God is I just feel this heavy weight down upon my shoulders. And it may be different for everybody, but that is just one of the ways that I recognize that. And I just feel really weak when that glory comes. I was actually shaking. I was feeling so weak. I even feel it now. But that glory realm is something that God has about him, because he's not in time and space. He's not in those tangible dimensions that we're so used to touching and feeling and seeing and hearing. It's a spiritual dimension, and it has to be spiritually felt and experienced. Sometimes that glory realm breaks into the physical, tangible. And we have quite a lot of stories in the Bible about that. And I'm just going to select one to bring out how God brought his glory and how people experience that. Because I believe as individuals we all experience it differently. And the story that came to mind when I was thinking about that was when the Greeks came and said they wanted to see Jesus. It's in, if you want to look at it later, but I'm not going to go into it to read it because there's a few other texts I want to use. But it's in John chapter 12. And the Greeks came to Jesus and they said to the disciples, we want to see Jesus. Jesus was saying that, you know, asking God if he could save him from the hour of his death. But then he said, but this is the very reason I came. Father, bring glory to your name. So Jesus was all about bringing glory to his Father. And that was his purpose, to come to the earth, was to bring the glory to God and to save us, of course. And then a voice spoke from heaven saying, I have already brought glory to my name, and I will do so again. And when the crowd heard the voice, some thought it was thunder, while others declared an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, the voice was for your benefit, not mine. So God broke into the tangible world of these people at that stage, and some just heard thunder. They thought it was just an enormous noise, and they attributed it to something in the natural world. But others perceived it was an angel. Maybe God was trying to show the people that were there that he wanted to break into their world. So we all perceive God in a different way, and he comes and he wants to break into our world. And remember when Jesus was born, the angels came and the shepherds were just in absolute awe of what God was doing. And I think that's what happens when God breaks into our world, when his glory comes, is it fills us with a sense of awe. We stand back and we think, oh, wow, who are we? We're just, what are we compared to this enormous and magnificent God? And he wants to do that sometimes and break us and shake us out of our tangible physical reality. So in Romans, it talks about how God chooses us. And this is the mercy that he has for each one of us. When we receive him, he adopts us as his children. And Romans 9 talks about God reveals his glory to us when we receive him. And we're given the privilege of worshipping him and receiving his wonderful promises. And Romans 9:23, and this is the theme text that I want to use this morning, and just have a really good look at this. Romans 9:23. He says, he makes the riches of his glory shine even brighter on those to whom he shows mercy, who were prepared in advance for glory. So God has prepared each of us that have come to him, he prepared in advance for that glory to go into our hearts. And we were among those whom he selected. And then Romans 8 verse 30 says, having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. I just want to illustrate this morning. So first of all, God calls us, and then we respond to his calling in our life. And I'm at the moment, I just feel moved that if there is anyone here that has not actually received Jesus into their hearts, then I feel it's the right time to do it now. If you've never said yes to Jesus and you feel Jesus calling you, you feel the Holy Spirit calling you, is an opportunity to say yes. I'm just going to close our eyes and we just pray. Father God, we just thank you for this morning, for all that you've done in our hearts this morning. We just honour you and we just are in awe of your mercy for us, Lord. We're just so undeserving of your grace. But you've called us, and you say that when you call us and we say yes to that call upon our life, then you pour your glory. You give us right standing with you, and that we're accepted in your presence, Lord, as spotless and blameless as Jesus, the Lamb of God. And then you pour your glory into our heart so that we can see. We have that light in our spirit, Lord, so that we become spiritually alive. And so, Lord, we just thank you that if there's anyone here this morning that has not said yes to that call, that this is an opportunity for them to do that this morning. We thank you, Lord, for that we are saved by your grace, not of anything that we do, just by faith that we come and we say, yes, Lord, I want to be your adopted child. I'd want to be part of your family. So, Lord, we just be still in your presence this morning and thank you. I just want to go on from there and talk about what this glory is like in our lives now. That God is glorious, and if he dwells in us, that glory is going to be revealed in us. And as you can see, we've brought this little lantern here. This is a gift from one of my very special friends when she came and stayed a couple of months ago. And it's actually the first time I put a candle in it and lit it. It's a beautiful pattern, but if it didn't have those holes, the light wouldn't shine out. And there's that section in Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where it talks about us being clay vessels, where God puts his light in us and then he shines that light out to the world around us. And I've actually put a scented candle in there. Can anyone smell that smell? Yeah. Now, I did that on purpose because it also talks about that fragrance of our lives shining, going out. So that sensory experience that happens as we're children of God. So not only is the light shining out, but the beautiful aroma is going out as well. And, you know, I think there's so many people that desire, and I was talking to Mary earlier about this, there's so many people in our world that just want a spiritual dimension in their life, but they don't know how to go about connecting with the God that we worship. And as our light shines out, it gives them, helps give them a light to find their way. Sometimes we may not even have an opportunity to talk to them, but it's just the light that is in us, the glory that is in us. And they will perceive that if they're seeking and searching and if they're being called by God to come to him. There's so much on the glory of God in the Bible. And as I was reading, I thought, boy, we can only just touch the surface on this. It talks about the glory of the old covenant and how Moses came down from being with God and his face was just glowing, that he had to put a veil over his face so that the people were just saying, oh, you're too bright. And, you know, even though that glory was fading. But it talks about the new covenant when we receive the good news of Jesus, that how much more glorious that is than the old covenant. the old way of trying to do things by the law. I just want to pick up a couple of sections in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 14, I'm going to read from there. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is spirit, and wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. So there's no sweat in it. And I love it because as the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, he changes us. He's the one that brings those changes in our life. You know, we can try and pull ourselves up, be the best people, try and do the best things that we can do and live the right way. But unless it's God in us bringing that change, we may as well give up, really. Behaviour change doesn't happen without power. And the Holy Spirit is the power within us. He is the one that gives us the light. And he will just be reflected in us as we just allow him to be there and to be the one that's glorified in us. It's very simple, really. I grew up as a Christian in a very traditional church until I was 25. And then both Rick and I met the way of the Holy Spirit. And it was just an incredible freedom and change that brought into our life. And it just took away the work. There is a process of remaining connected and staying sharp in the Holy Spirit, but it just gives you an incredible peace, an incredible stressless life, Christian life, by just allowing him to be there and to shine. And this new dimension of the Spirit is just a beautiful thing, absolutely beautiful. And it's something that I believe is passed on to our children in a very real way because they can just see that it's real for us. And it's passed on to our grandchildren. I had the delight of being with my granddaughter the last couple of days. And I believe children, and I was chatting to Mary about this morning because she's over there with the kids, and I said to her, children perceive God and Jesus in a way that's just so easy and free. I just want to just tell you a very brief little story and then I'll hand over to Rick. Tallulah's my little granddaughter and she's 2 and a half, but she speaks as if she's 5. She's just amazing. But unfortunately, Libby had a really serious car accident 2 weeks ago and rode her car off completely. And I chatted to her the other night and she said, you know, Mum, if I'd been a tenth of a second earlier, she said, I think I'd have been dead, because the car would have hit her side on and that would have been it, she felt. But fortunately she was fine and the airbag went off and she was okay. She's also pregnant at the moment, but and the baby was okay as well. But later on, the next couple of days, she and Brendan were talking about it and said that they had to get another car because that one was broken and couldn't go anymore. And Tallulah said to her, you know, Mummy, because she was in the back seat in her car seat, she said, Mummy, I wasn't frightened when we had the car accident. And she said, oh, why not? She said, because there was an angel holding my hand. And she said, really? And she said, yes. And there was one with you too in the front. And I said to Rick, this is incredible. She actually saw in her spirit or some way those angels that were with them. And it made me think, wow, children are just so open, aren't they? It was very real to her. And she wasn't frightened. It's just incredible, isn't it? Yeah. So God is so good, isn't he? And so I want to read to finish off with chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, verse 6. For God who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. And verse 15 says, as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more glory. So God gives us his grace. He's the one that puts that glory in our hearts. And as we thank him for that and shine that glory out, there will be more glory that goes back to God. And as more people receive that grace and that glory in them, there will be more glory that goes back to God.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to connect personally if you're in town. We meet on Sundays at 217 Howick Street for a 10:30 service. Or visit our website, c3churchbathurst.org.